up, when everyone was like, all right, we're out, we're going, Rasulullah said to him, he went with it. He was like, all right, let's go. And so everyone starts getting ready. Everyone's getting prepared. And it just shows, subhanAllah, it just shows the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's like, he was amongst his people. He told them the dream. He didn't say we're going. They got all hyped up. They started getting ready. He's like, all right, I guess we're going. Let's go. We'll go then. Let's go. I guess that's what we're going to do. And so 1,400 companions, they all start to get ready. And he sends word after like everyone set on going. Rasulullah SAW sends words to the other Muslim tribes that, hey, we're all going for Umrah. If anyone wants to come, come with us. But at this time, you got to understand, there's still a war. There's still a war between us and Quraysh. I mean, the last thing we talked about last week is that all of Quraysh came and attacked Medina. But what did the Prophet SAW say at the end of that battle? He said, that's it, y'all. That's it. They're not going to attack us no more. We're going to be moving forward from now on. We're never going to be on the defensive again. And so he sends out word. But a lot of the other tribes, they're like, nah, we're not going to roll with y'all. How about y'all go first? We'll meet you next year. If something happens, we're not there. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sets out. They reach Dhul Hulaifa. Dhul Hulaifa is a place right outside of Medina, but it's where the boundaries of the haram begin. So that's where you put your ihram on and you start to get ready. And so all the sahaba, they're getting ready, they're putting on their ihram, they're saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. And for anyone who's gone for Umrah, it's electric. The feeling of Umrah, the feeling of the labbaik. Now you got to add to that how much they had missed it and been so used to it in the past. So now they all got on their ihrams, they're all doing talbiyah, and they're all headed. So they start to go. They make the trek all the way down, long journey, a week and a half of traveling down towards Mecca. And they reach to a place called the Trail of Mirar. And they stop there just to rest for a little bit, but something interesting happens. And there's a lesson in this for us, a deep lesson. They stop at this place, and when they stop, the camel of the Prophet ﷺ, Qaswa, she sat down. And then when the Prophet ﷺ tried to get her to move, she wouldn't move. And they're trying everything. They're pushing her. They're prodding her. They're trying to get her to move. And she's not moving at all. And this bothered everyone. And so they said, Khala'at Qaswa. Like, Qaswa has become disobedient. And the Rasul ﷺ, he goes, Ma khala'at Qaswa wa ma dharika bi khulukuha. He says, Qaswa has not become disobedient. That's not her temperament. And then he says something deep. He says, Habasaha habisul fil. He said, the one stopping her is the same one that stopped the elephant from attacking back in the year of the elephant. What's he trying to say? Rasulullah SAW is saying, I have my intention on something. And this happens to us so much. We set our heart on something. We make istikhara. We set our heart on it. And then as we're getting closer to that thing, it becomes more ingrained that thing has to happen. But the prophetic quality that we're learning right now is in this moment, he says something profound. In that moment, he says, by Allah, whatever the Quraysh offer me that honors Allah, I will accept it from them. And then he steers Qaswa in the other direction and he pushes her and she goes. So what happened there is this is the Prophet ﷺ saying, you know what? Our hearts are set on Umrah. I saw a dream. Everyone's hyped. We have the ihram on. And now a roadblock came. And instead of fighting the roadblock, I'm going to pause and allow myself to see what Allah wants me to see. A lot of us like to just push through those things and not realize, hold up. There's a reason why this is happening in life. There's a reason why you didn't get accepted to that place. It's a reason why you didn't get that gig. It's a reason why... whatever. There's a reason why you're still in Dallas. You're supposed to be in Medina right now, my boy. There's a reason for that. And you got to be able to have that flexibility and adaptability. And so the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes, whatever they offer me. And now you got to imagine the Sahaba. If you're a Sahaba, you're not even thinking. You're like, yo, we're going for Umrah. What do you mean offer you? We're going for Umrah. That's all we're set on. We're going for Umrah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he diverts towards an area that's to the east of Mecca, slightly, which is called Hudaybiyah. And so he diverts to that place, and they go to that place, and they stop there. He changes direction. He understood that this was something coming from higher than me, and I need to learn a lesson and understand something in this moment. At that same time, he sent forward people to let him know, like, what's going on in Mecca? What's the news? And the news came back that said, you know, the people of Mecca are ready to fight. They've caught everyone they can, and they're ready to fight you. They're not going to let you come and do Umrah. Brothers and sisters, before we go forward, you got to understand there was one golden rule in the Arabian Peninsula. You don't stop nobody from Umrah. Your arch enemy, it doesn't matter. You don't stop them from Umrah, no matter what. It was what the Quraysh had to live by. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hears that this army is getting ready. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says this beautiful phrase. He says, wayha, ya wayha Quraysh. Like, woe to the Quraysh. All they want to do is fight. All they want to do is fight. He says, why don't they just leave me to the people? He goes, let me just talk to the people. And that's all he ever wanted. His whole life was just for them to get out of his way and let him talk to people. So then he gathers the companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, he's a leader. He doesn't move without talking with the group. He goes, what do? We didn't bring weapons for war. We had the little Yemeni joints. You know what I mean? We had the little joint, the travel. No, don't say it. Okay. We in Texas though, you know? No, okay. They had the small weapons that they would travel with. But what they would really fight with, they left it because we're going as pilgrims. This is a peaceful journey. And so he gathers the Sahaba and he says, What do we do? Like, should we go and attack? What should we do? And at this moment, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the closest friend of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya Rasulullah, he says, Kharajta amidan lihadha al-bayt. You left Medina to go to the Kaaba. He says, La turidu qatla ahada. We didn't leave with the intention of fighting anyone. Wala harba ahadan. We didn't want to go to war with anyone. So you know what? Let's head towards the Kaaba. If they get in the way, they get in the way. But let's just head towards the Kaaba. The Prophet ﷺ says, Asabt, this is good. Let's go for it. They head towards Hudaybiyah and they stop at Hudaybiyah. While they're at Hudaybiyah, a man by the name of Budail, I'm going to throw a few names at you tonight, but they're so important. A man by the name of Budail, he was kind of like an ally for the Muslims. He comes and he sees the Muslims. They all got their Umrah, robes on. They all have their heads uncovered. They're ready. They're in pilgrim mode. Budail comes and he sees what's going on. And he goes straight to the Quraysh. He goes, y'all need to leave these guys alone. They're not trying to fight. So you got to understand that the moral upper ground is shifting. The moral upper ground is shifting. The upper hand morally is shifting in the Arabian Peninsula. And Budail, who's just another guy, he goes, no, y'all need to let these guys go. Why are you stopping them? Why are you doing this to them? Well, the Quraysh didn't like to hear any opposition. They say, Anta min al-A'rab, you're a Bedouin. Just leave. We don't need your opinion. So they send someone else. Because now the Muslims are stopped at Hudaybiyah, right? And they're right outside of Mecca. They're hours away from Mecca. And their hearts want nothing more than to be in Mecca. You got to understand what their hearts want. And now they send another man. His name is Hulais. Hulais, he was from the Ahabish, meaning he was one of the leaders of the tribes that came to assist the Quraysh in stopping the Muslims. So Hulais is like, you know what? I'll go and talk to him. Let me talk to Muhammad. I'll talk some sense to him and send him back. And look at our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at his emotional intelligence. It's profound. He sees Hulais coming from a distance. He sees him coming. And he calls the Sahaba close. He goes, this man is from a tribe that love Umrah more than anything. Like that's, their tribe loves Umrah. He says, bring all the sacrificial animals up front. Now let me explain something. When you take a camel to sacrifice, they put like a garland around it. And they color it and they make it look beautiful. And they get it ready for the sacrifice. So the Prophet ﷺ, he says, gather all, they had 70 camels ready to sacrifice. Side note, the Prophet ﷺ's camel that he was gonna sacrifice was the sacrifice of Abu Jahl that he got from him in the Battle of Badr. I mean, like how, yeah, you get it. Like what animal are you gonna sacrifice? You know which one I'm gonna sacrifice then. So he says, everyone bring the camels forward. And I want you to picture the scene. There's 1,400 men and women covered in white garbs. They're saying, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik ala sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'ma, right? Like that electric sound. And then the animals are all in the front. Hulais is getting close to the Muslims. He just sees it and he stops. He stops. He turns around and he goes back to the Quraysh. And he goes, he didn't even talk to the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning before he could get there, the Prophet ﷺ understood who this man was and set everything up so he could be impacted deeply. And he goes back and the first thing that he says, there's no way. There's no way, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to stop people from the Umrah. I love Umrah. I love that. There's no way I signed up for this. Now, the Quraysh still have a chip on their shoulder. So some of them speak up and they like talk down to him. But this guy's a big guy. So he's like, hold up, you know who I am. Don't talk to me like that. In fact, if you stop them, then you're gonna have issues with us with trade. Now Quraysh are like, yo, what's going on? These ragtag Muslims, these small group of Muslims that we just wanted to wipe out, this small little area the size of Manhattan, you know what I mean? We thought it would be easy to get rid of them. This is becoming more difficult than we thought it would be. So Hulais goes back and he comes and he tells them, nope. So now what happens? This is where it gets really deep. They realize now we have an issue. Because our own allies are telling us, you've gone too far. Sound familiar? Our own allies are telling us, yo, you need to chill. This is wrong. The moral high ground is shifting big time. It's an amazing lesson for us. Now, Sahaba, if you're a Sahaba, you still like, yo, when we going for Umrah? Now, you know what's amazing? I was talking to a sheikh about this, and he's like, when people go for Umrah and you gotta delay the ihram even for like 5 hours, people start tripping. If you're like, yo, you're gonna be in your ihram for about 3 more hours, everyone's like, yo, I paid for first class, bro. Like, yo, like, why? No. No itar, no soap, no this, no that. They're waiting. Days are passing and they're sitting in ihram. So not only that, they're in a state where it's hard to be in, and their heart state is like, I need to be in Mecca. I'm so close, I can smell it. I need to be there more than anything. So what happens? They send Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. Urwa bin Mas'ud. So, yeah, this is heavy. Urwa bin Mas'ud, he's from Ta'if. Now, I want you to think back for a moment, way back when the Prophet ﷺ was still in Mecca. And he didn't have any help in Mecca. He went off to another city to try to give dawah. That was the city Ta'if. This man, Urwa, he's a leader of that tribe. And he's there because everything's going down in Mecca right now. I gotta see what's happening. So he's there just to like, yo, what's going on? What's going to happen? It's big news. The Muslims are going for Umrah. They're on their way. What's gonna happen? So Urwa, he says to the people, he goes, why don't y'all let me go talk? I'm a leader, you know how where I've been. And he had international influence. He had went to the leader of the Persians, the leader of the Romans. He had went to the Najashi, So he knows how to talk to people in positions. So they send Urwa bin Mas'ud. And this is one of the most beautiful moments of this incident. Urwa bin Mas'ud, he comes. Before he comes, the prophet knows who he is. Again, the prophet's understanding of people is par excellence, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows this guy is used to seeing a king sit in a court with people around him. But if we know the sunnah of our Habib, it was simplicity. People would come to the prophet's masjid and have to ask, like, which one of y'all is Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he was just amongst the people. But today was different. Today I need to impact somebody. Today I need to affect someone's heart. So he tells Mughira bin Shu'bah. Mughira, he's a big guy. Big, tall, stocky. He says, put all your armor on and I want you to stand behind me. And then he tells Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, stand on my right side. And then Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, he comes in. He walks in. When he comes in, he sits down and he begins to sit knee to knee with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he begins to talk to him. Now, the Arabs had this custom that if they wanted to let you know, like, I just want to be close to you, they would talk to you and the brother would stroke your beard while he's talking to you. Mad weird, right? But whatever. Right? Mad weird. Well, the kissing on cheeks is whatever. All right, whatever, whatever. So the brother would stroke your beard while he's talking to you. But you don't just touch my prophet like that. The guy standing behind, Mughira bin Shu'bah, he's covered up completely. And he has his sword in his hand. And every time Urwa reaches up to touch with the back of the sword, he knocks his hand down. Like, yo, put your hand down. And it happens one time. And he forgets. It's a habit. He reaches again. He hits it again. And each time, he's kind of like, yo, who is this cat? Who is this guy? What's he doing? It happens a third time. And this time, the man standing, Mughira standing, he goes, if you reach out your hand one more time to touch my prophet, you won't have a hand. You won't have a hand. Don't touch my prophet. Like, you're not at that level. Back up. Urwa's like, yo, Muhammad, who is that? The prophet goes, that's your nephew. And he was his nephew. And he's like, what has destroyed your edab? How come you don't have any manners with me anymore? He says, I just saved you. So what happened, real quick tangent, Mughira, he had a past. They became Muslim. They had past. He had did something bad in the past, and Urwa had actually paid to solve everything. So he goes, I helped you out. But Mughira doesn't care about all that. This is my deen. This is my Habib. This is my beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the respect I have and the position I have right now is you're not going to put your hands on him. That's not happening. So Urwa, he changes his attention. Who cares about him? He kept his hands to himself. And then he starts to look around the room. Now you got to imagine what Sahaba looked like, and I want you to see it. The Arabs were used to everyone looking the same, speaking the same. What united you in their tribal system was you had the same blood. Blood was what kept you together. But the Muslims, there's something different for us, y'all. What bonds us is not blood. What bonds us is faith. That becomes the tightest bond we have over every other bond. So he's looking around the room and he sees Bilal Habashi. He sees Salman Farsi, Habashi, Abyssinia, another man from Persia, another man from Yemen, another man from the Roman Empire. And people from all different tribes, the people from Medina, people from Mecca. He's looking around and he says these words. He goes, Ya Muhammad. He goes, what are you doing? Do you think you're going to attack your own people? And he looks around the room and he goes, all I see is a scattered group of people that are seconds away from fleeing from you. Now hold up. Who's standing right next to his side? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And for the last 20 years, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq has been by his side. We were by his side in Badr. We were by his side in Uhud. We were in the trenches with him. We have been with this man every moment. And in front of our faces, you'll disrespect us and say that we are just going to scatter and leave. In this moment, Abu Bakr is a very controlled man, radiallahu anhu. But in this moment, because of the sensitivity of the moment, he says something very vulgar, actually. He curses at Urwa, and he goes, how dare you say something like that? How dare you? Do you know who we are and what we've stood for? Urwa bin Mas'ud stays and he watches a little bit. The conversation is over, but he stays there and just watches the Sahaba for a moment. And as he's watching, he finally gets up and now he has to go back and report. Now, what did he say in front of the Prophet? So I said to him, he said, these people will never stay. The moment he arrives back at the side of the Quraysh, he switches completely, flips the script. He goes, don't fight these people. Do not fight these people. And he gives the most epic monologue that is recorded in Sirah. He goes, لَقَدَ وَفَتُّ عَلَى الْمُلُوكِ وَوَفَتُّ عَلَى الْقَيْسَ وَقِسْرِ وَالنَّجَاشِ. He goes, yo, listen to me. I have traveled to different countries. I have went to Caesar. I have went to Abyssinia. I have went to Rome. And he said these words. He says, I have never, ever seen people that love and honor a man the way Sahaba love and honor Muhammad. I have never seen people like this. He's like, if he speaks to them to do something, they act on it right away. And I want you to remember that as we get to the end. They act on it right away. They don't hesitate a second. He said, if he's making wudu, they're trying to catch the leftover water. Like, yo, let me get that barakah. Let me get that extra prophetic drip. It's the real prophetic drip right there. He says that these people will never allow anyone to get to this man. You know what's crazy? You saw what happened in the Olympics, the mockery of Isa. What's so beautiful about Muslims is we don't take these things lightly. We stand up for our Prophet. We stand up for all Anbiya. They mean something to us. And that's what he comes back and he goes, there's no way. There's no way. And it's amazing how he's playing politician. In front of the Prophet, he's saying one thing. But the moment he goes back, and then he says, because he saw enough. He goes, I'm going back to Ta'if, but don't mess with this man. Don't mess with this man. On the other side, the Prophet is saying, I'm tired of them sending messengers to me. I'm going to send someone to go talk to them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he calls Umar. I mean, if you want to intimidate someone, who are you going to send? So he calls Umar radiallahu anhu. He says, Umar, I need you to go and give a message for me. I need you to go and give a message to the Quraysh for me. And Umar, he does something amazing. Umar radiallahu anhu, he goes, Ya Rasulullah, inni akhafu Quraysh ala nafsi. I don't think I'm the right man for the job. And I have no other family back in Mecca. And the Quraysh know how much I hate them. That's what he says. The Quraysh know how much I hate them. وَلَكِنِّي أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى رَجُلٍ أَعَزَّ بِهَا مِنِّي. He goes, let me tell you someone who's better for the job. To me, this is profound. It's self-awareness, y'all. Umar knows himself. This person is given a position to now be a messenger for the messenger. But he's not looking at position. He's understanding himself. He goes, I'm not the guy for the job. Can I tell you who to send? He says, send Uthman. Uthman, the one who married two of the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ. He goes, Uthman, everybody loves Uthman. His enemies love him. We love him. Everybody loves this Uthman. What was the quality? If there's one quality you know about Uthman, what was it? Haya. Shy man. Shy. The Prophet ﷺ one day, he was sitting with his thobe up, right? And like, you know how you have a thobe on, you got the pants under. So he's sitting at a well with his thobe up. And someone knocks at the gate, and it's Abu Bakr. He goes, who's there? They say, it's Abu Bakr. He says, oh, let him in. And Abu Bakr comes, and he sits down. After a little time later, they're sitting talking. They're like, oh, Omar's at the door. He wants to come in. Meanwhile, the Prophet's thobe is kind of lifted a little bit. He's dangling his feet over the well. So Omar, radiallahu, they're like, Omar wants to come in. He goes, oh, let him in. A little bit later, someone comes in. They're like, Uthman wants to come in. The Prophet's like, Uthman, he fixes his thobe. Now, if you, Omar and Abu Bakr, you're kind of like, how do I process this, right? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, when Abu Bakr came, you didn't change. When Omar came, you didn't change. But when Uthman, you fixed your... He says, how can I not be shy in front of the one the angels are shy in front of? Like this man's gentleness was profound in his shyness. The Prophet ﷺ gave him two of his daughters, married him to two, and he said, if I had a third daughter, I'd marry her to him. You only give your daughter to someone you know is like... that will treat her amazing. So Uthman is sent. And this is amazing. Uthman is sent. And Omar's right. They see him coming and they're like, yo. Because remember, this is all family. They all know each other. So they're like, oh, long time no see. They give him a special horse. They escort him in. And now the Sahaba are back. They see that he was welcomed in. They see that he wasn't pushed away. He was welcomed in. So Uthman comes in. They ask him, where are you going? He said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me to call you to Allah. First thing first. Umrah's there, but first thing, I need to call you to Allah. I need to call you to Allah. You need to accept Allah. You need to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and Islam. And he came to tell me, he told me to tell you, he did not come to fight. The Prophet did not come to fight. He wants peace. He wants peace. He says, إِنَّمَا جِئْنَا عُمَّارًا. He told me to tell you we came to do Umrah. They say, okay, we heard what you have to say. Let us talk amongst ourselves. Remember, the political situation is shifting. Tribes are now saying, how dare y'all do this to people? It's shifting now. So they tell Uthman, just wait here a little bit, chill. We got to talk about this amongst ourselves. In the meantime, they say, yo, you're here in Mecca. Why don't you go do tawaf? And this is an amazing thing. When the Sahaba saw that he got into Mecca, they started talking about to themselves. They started to talk about it. And because what do we want more than anything? We want to go to the Kaaba. We want to be back there. So now you see someone got in Mecca. Now you're thinking, like, what he's doing right now? He's probably kissing the black stone, you know, Safa and Marwa. He's probably in his heels there, right? So they start talking, Sahaba, and they're like, yo, I bet you he's going to do tawaf. And the Prophet hears him. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he hears them, and he says, ma adhunnuhu tafa bil bayt. I don't think he would ever do tawaf. Well, we're back here. He won't do that. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, he's there for so long. He goes, no. My knowledge of Uthman is he won't do tawaf without me. He won't do tawaf without me. Now, something happened in between, but I want to fast forward. When he finally gets back, the first question they ask him, they're like, did you do tawaf? And he got serious. He said, Bitsama qult. What are you talking about? How could I do tawaf? When my Rasulullah, and he said this to them, they said, why don't you do tawaf? He said, I wasn't ordered to do tawaf. I was ordered to follow my Prophet. That's it. But you gotta see, for us, it's kind of like, oh, no tawaf. This man loves Kaaba. They've grown up with it. So he comes back, and the Sahaba, they're like, yo, did you do tawaf? Did you do tawaf? And he goes, Bitsama qult. No, he says, what a horrible thought y'all had about me. He says, I swear by Allah who has my soul in his hands, if I stayed there a year and the Prophet ﷺ was not with me, I wouldn't do tawaf. That's the love. That's the connection. What else happened? Rumor spread. They kept Uthman a little longer than was normal and customary. So rumors started to spread that Uthman was killed. And this is going to be hard for us. Rumors started to spread they killed Uthman. because it was taking too long. Something's up. And Quraysh are already shady, so it's not beyond them. The moment the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that Uthman was killed, he gathered everyone in that moment. He said, everyone take allegiance on my hand that we're going to fight until we die. One Muslim's life was enough for war. One innocent Muslim's life was enough for the Prophet to say, I came for peace, I want nothing but peace, but you killed the innocent man, game over. Game over. One man. So he sat under a tree. It's called Bay'atul Ridwan. He sat under a tree and he said, come and take Bay'ah, meaning put your hand in my hand and say, we pledge that we won't run. They had no weapons. They're in two garbs. You could barely walk in your ihram, let alone fight. But you killed one Muslim unjustly? I'm a different man when that happens. I want nothing but peace, but now it's a different game. Now it's over. Now it's different. So one by one, 1,400 men and women, they come and they put their hand in the hand of the Prophet and they take bay'ah. They pledge that we're going to fight until hatta al-maut. Aw hatta la nafirru. We won't run away. And then at the end, when every 1,400 gave bay'ah, the Prophet took his right hand, he put it in his left hand, and he said, this is the hand of Uthman. Because if he was here, he would do it. I'm doing it on his behalf. He put his own hand into his hand. He said, this is Uthman's hand. Now, when the Quraysh see we got real, all of a sudden, now the pressure is too much. The Quraysh are like, we didn't want to fight y'all anyway. We didn't kill Uthman. They let Uthman go. Uthman comes back safe and sound, but the damage has been done. They saw what we were made out of. And so now they send a man by the name of Suhail bin Amr, last name for tonight almost. And they send him, go and sign a treaty. Go and sign a treaty, like in this right now. In this right now. They tell Suhail, you can make any agreement you want, but they can't come into Mecca this year. Suhail is coming over. Hey, y'all, we've been waiting for weeks to go into Mecca. We're still in Ihram. Remember that. Suhail is on his way over. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees Suhail coming, he says, Sahalallahu amarakum. So the man's name is Suhail. Let me explain this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to always look for good signs. He looked for reasons to be optimistic, never pessimistic. He looked for every opportunity. So he sees this man by the name of Suhail. Now, real quick Arabic lesson. What does Suhail mean? Like, no, it's not ease. It's like little ease. You know what I mean? Like a little bit of ease, okay? Like Suhail, Rujail. It's when you want to make something look small, you say Suhail. So he sees him. His name means ease. There's ease in his name. When the Prophet sees him coming, he looks at the Sahaba and he goes, Allah just made everything easy for us. Like he looked for excuses to be optimistic. Just excuses. Oh, like someone, Abdul Fattah comes. What's your name? You meet somebody, Abdul Fattah. Like, yo, things about to open up, man. Things about to open up. Like excuse, looking for excuses to be optimistic. So Suhail bin Amr comes over. And Suhail bin Amr comes and he says, you know, they sent me now. I have to get into this treaty with you. We have to discuss everything. And this is where it gets really serious. So Suhail bin Amr, he sits down and he says to them, he says, I've come to let you know that they're not going to let you come in this year, but you can come back next year. And they told me we should sign a treaty. The Sahaba are sitting around. Hearts are starting to break. It's like when you promised your kid y'all was about to go somewhere and it starts to get later in the day. Remember Dad Baba promised you? And now it's like 4 p.m. and you kind of like, man, we ain't going nowhere. I know y'all got trauma. I know. Y'all got trauma. It's about a lot. So Sahaba are kind of like, oh, this is looking like we're not going to go. The Prophet ﷺ calls Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, because Ali knew how to write. He sits down. Suhayb bin Amr sits down. And the Prophet ﷺ is sitting there. And he says, write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Suhail goes, who's Rahman, who Rahim? We don't know him. Nah, don't write that. Write Bismihi Ta'ala. Write in the name of Allah. The Prophet says, write in the name of Allah. Like notice the acceptance. Notice, like, I'm not pushing back right now. You want every excuse for this not to go through. I'm not going to give it to you. Then the Prophet ﷺ goes, write Min Muhammad Rasulullah, Baina Muhammad Rasulullah wa Suhail ibn Amr. Between Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, and Suhail. Suhail goes, we don't believe you're a prophet. Don't put that on the document. Put from Muhammad bin Abdullah, Baina him, between him and Suhail. But Ali had already wrote it. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ali, erase it. Ali goes, Ya Rasulullah, I can never erase you. What love, yo. Bars, beautiful bars. Beautiful love. Like, look at the love, it's pure. He knows he means just erase, but I can't, that word doesn't come out. He's like, I can't erase you. And Omar also told him, don't do it. From all reasons, don't do it. Don't do it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't know how to read and write. So he goes, point the word to me. Point it to me on the page. They point it to him and he smudges it out himself. And then he says the most beautiful words. And this is for all of us. You have to stop letting people tell you who you are and know who you are. He goes, Ana Rasulullah, I am the Prophet of Allah, whether they write it or not, whether they say it or not, I am who I am. This doesn't change nothing. This doesn't change my reality, the writing on it, a piece of paper. He says, Ana Rasulullah, even if they don't want to say it, I'm the Prophet of Allah. So they write this document, and the document starts, they're writing it. How does it begin? Suhail says, Wallahi, lo, he says, if we knew you were the Prophet, we wouldn't fight you. And he says, show me where it is. They show him, and he wipes it away. And he began to dictate the terms. And it says, this is the treaty between Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, and Suhail bin Amr. Number one, no war for 10 years. Yo, this is profound. Remember when he set out for something? The Prophet ﷺ is teaching us, you got to understand short-term goals and long-term goals. The short-term goal was Umrah. But there was something deeper Allah wanted in that moment. So what happens next? He says, there'll be no war for 10 years. Okay, we agree. Next, you won't be allowed to do Umrah this year. The Prophet's like, agreed. But you could come back next year and you could be in Mecca for 3 days only. You could come back next year. The Prophet's like, agreed. The Prophet's like, they say, and any tribe that wants to ally with y'all can ally. And any tribe that wants to ally with us can ally. The Prophet's like, agreed. They say anyone that wants to go to Medina and just visit can go. And any of your people that want to come to Mecca and just visit can go. The Prophet's like, agreed. Agreed, agreed. Everything they say, agreed, agreed, agreed. And then finally it got really hard. They said, anyone, see, there's a lot of captives in Mecca. They don't like to talk about the Muslim prisoners. They like to talk about the other prisoners, right? So there's a lot of captives in Mecca who are being persecuted because they're Muslim, but they're too weak to leave. So they said, anyone who flees from us to y'all, you got to return them back to us. Huh? You mean he gets out of your prison of torture? I need you to think about this in real time, y'all. He gets out of your torture prison, and you're telling me the treaty says we got to send him back to you? They're like, yeah. And then they say, but if anyone flees from y'all to us, we don't got to send them back. The Prophet says, agreed. In that moment, it's being written down. A man by the name of Abu Jundil shows up in chains. Just freed himself from a from a Zion, I mean, from a Quraishi prison. He just freed himself from a Quraishi prison. He just freed himself. He's in chains still. He's in chains still, and he frees himself, and he comes into the room, and he's like, "Ya Muslimin, I made it. Protect me. Protect me." They haven't signed the treaty yet. We're just talking about the terms. Suhail looks over. He goes, "He's the first one you got to send back." The prophet says, "No, we haven't signed yet." Suhail goes, "Then no treaty." The prophet then goes, he goes, "Can you just leave him for me?" He goes, "No. By the way, that was his son. That was Suhail's son. He was the one torturing him." So he goes, "No treaty unless you take him, unless he goes back." And the words, subhanAllah, is so crazy because he goes, he starts screaming. He says, "Ya Muslimin, you're going to send me back to be tortured? Ya Muslimin." And imagine listening to this, y'all. Imagine the prophet listening to this. "You're going to send me back?" And the prophet looks at him and he says, "Ya Aba Jandal, sabr, sabr. Just be patient a little longer. Allah will give you help. Allah will give you help. Just be patient a little longer. We can't right now. Just be patient a little longer." They take him back. Umar is hot. Umar radiallahu anh is can't take this right now. He goes, as they're taking Abu Jandal away, he whispers in his ear, he goes, "It's halal to kill one of them, if you know." Right? "I'm just saying, bro. Do what you gotta do. You're being tortured, do what you gotta do." The treaty is finally signed. It's one-sided, completely one-sided. But remember what he said when he got stopped? So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Suhail goes back. Treaty is signed. 10 years of peace. 10 years of peace. No more fighting. Treaty is signed. Suhail goes back. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to face who, y'all? Us. 1,400 Sahaba ready for Umrah. He goes, "Okay, y'all, good news. No Umrah this year. Everyone sacrifice the animals right now. Shave your heads, we're going to head back." Nobody moves. What did Urwa just say about the Sahaba? What did he just say to the Quraysh about them? He says a word, and they're on it. But the pain was too hard at this moment. Everyone's just like dumbstruck because they were so dead set on it. They were so set on it. The Prophet ﷺ turns around and he goes back into his tent. Salama was with him on this journey, his wife Salama. He goes into the tent and he's like, "Halka," like, everything's messed up. And she goes, "What? What happened?" And he goes, "I told them to do something, but no one listened." And she said, "Calm down. Listen to me. They're in shock right now. This is what I want you to do." And this is where you see the prophetic motto of mashwara with his wife. Mashwara with his wife. There's this saying amongst the Arab, shawiruhunna wa khalifuhunna. Do mashwara, but do everything opposite. La, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he do? He went in and he's like, "What do I do?" And she's like, listen. Go outside. Go slaughter your animal. Don't say a word. Go out, slaughter your animal, and have someone shave your head. That's all I want you to do. She radiallahu ta'ala anha, subhanallah. Rasulullah is like, "Okay, let me listen to wifey. I don't know what to do." So he goes out. It's pin drop silent. He slaughters his animal. He shaves his head. And everyone just realized, yep, we're not going for Umrah. And they all started shaving each other's head. You know what they said? These are their words. "We were shaving our heads, but it felt like we were slitting our own throats. Like we wanted it so bad, it hurt. It hurt so bad." Do you know who it hurt the most? Umar ibn Khattab. In this moment, we have such a beautiful moment to learn from. There was no one more hurt than Umar. And everyone started to get doubts. Everyone's confused. What does this mean? I thought we were on the come up, y'all. We just won in Khandaq. And now we take the lower side of this treaty. We just take the lower side. We had our heart set on something. People don't stop us. We're Muslims. Umar ibn Khattab comes over to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you're not ready for what he said. Ja'a Umar. I'm going to read the Arabic so you know I'm not like, y'all be thinking I'll be like adding stuff. Nah. Umar, he came over. He said, Alasta Nabi Allah haqqa? Are you not the prophet of Allah truly? The prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, I am. He said, Alasna al-Muslimin? Aren't we Muslims? The prophet said, yes. He goes, aren't they mushriks, idolaters? The prophet said, yes. Aren't we on the haq and our enemies are on falsehood? The prophet's like, yes. He says, aren't the people from us who die in Jannah? The prophet says, yes, they are. He says, then why are we taking the lower road, the lower side in our deen? Why are we doing this? Then he goes, didn't you tell us we were going for Umrah? The prophet says, did I say this year? It's funny, but did I say we were going for Umrah this year? I never said that. Umar is like perplexed. I don't know what to do. So he runs over to who? Who are you going to go after you go to Rasulullah? Abu Bakr. He asked Abu Bakr the same questions, one by one. And Abu Bakr says the same thing. He gets to the final question. He says, didn't he tell us we were going for Umrah? And Abu Bakr, he's so close to the Prophet ﷺ. He spent 20 years that it's like they could complete each other's sentences. That's how you get with wifey. Y'all just be completing each other's sentences. Subhanallah. One day, bro. One day, chill out. One day. Relax. So Abu Bakr, he gets to the last one and he says, didn't he tell us we were going for Umrah? Prophet Abu Bakr goes, did he say this year? Oh. They start to leave. As they're leaving, Umar distanced himself from the Prophet because he realized after some time, like, I can't believe I spoke to the Prophet, so I said him like that. So he's keeping a little distance and they're riding back to Medina. And all of a sudden, somebody calls, Umar, Rasulullah yad'uk. Rasulullah is calling you. Umar's like, can you imagine? Okay. He rides his horse towards the Prophet ﷺ. And as he gets to the Prophet's horse, he says that the Prophet ﷺ is trotting on his horse. And he's smiling. He's smiling. And he says, Umar, I got revelation. But he's happy. And he's like, what, Ya Rasulullah? He goes, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Indeed, we have given you a clear victory. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We have given you a clear victory. Umar was smiling at first, then he's kind of like, huh? How is this victory? Brothers and sisters, every scholar of Sirah says that the conquest of Mecca didn't happen in the conquest of Mecca. It happened in Hudaybiyah. Your L's don't, your W's don't always come in the form of W's, yo. Your victories don't always look like victories when they come. What happened? You know what happened? Because people can go back and forth from Mecca to Medina, you know how many people from Mecca was like, let's just go visit Medina for a weekend. They would come and then they would see the Muslims praying, charity, Qiyam al-Layl. They're like, oh, this is peaceful. I like it here. This is nice. Right? This is good. I like this. Right? And people started to convert. And now peace. You know what else happened? Subhanallah. Now that the Prophet doesn't have an enemy, the Prophet begins to write letters to the leaders of other empires. He wrote to Najashi, he wrote to Hiraqal, he wrote to the leader of the Persians. Because I don't have to worry about here now. Now the dawah has to expand. So people start to come into Islam one after the one. And it changed the impression of what Muslims were. Because now we took the lower end. What people knew about us was they want peace more than anything. They want peace. The Quraysh are the ones who want war. They want peace more than anything. So the lesson in Hudaybiyah is we have to be able to look beyond the short-term losses and see the long-term, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us. And the lesson of when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that Uthman was killed, subhanAllah, that's the prophetic ghira for another Muslim. Umar, by the way, I want to finish this. Umar radiallahu anh said, for the rest of my life, I used to give a little charity because of that one day that I spoke a little too much in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know how, subhanAllah, you have a cringe moment when you think back, and the moment you think about it, for a moment, you'd be like, oh my God. I got a bunch of them, by the way. Anyways. For Umar, that moment, whenever he would think back of that moment, he's like, oh, how did I say that? And he would give charity. He would give charity. He would give charity to make up for it. But you have to understand what was being taught in that moment. What was being taught is there may be short-term losses, like us as a Ummah right now, but we got to trust the promise of Allah that the long-term victory is with the believers. May Allah accept from us. May Allah accept from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our brothers and sisters in Gaza. May Allah free Masjid al-Aqsa. May Allah free Masjid al-Aqsa. May Allah free and alleviate our brothers and sisters from the oppression that they are going through. May Allah make it easy for them. Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun. Wa Salamun Ala Al-Mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Taqabbal Allah. May Allah accept. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah. How you doing, y'all? Good.
We got a treat. We got